Welcome to The Dental Brief, the world's direct, right-to-the-point podcast produced to get you the information you need to learn and grow your practice. To learn more about our guests and find links to information discussed on our show, visit our website, dentalbrief.com. On to today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Dental Brief. Today, we have a guest that I'm sure all of you are going to want to hear some of his wisdom he's going to share with us today. Dr. Ray Curry, say hello.
Hi there. Hi, Patrick. Hey, thanks for having me too.
Yeah, grateful to have you here. Let's just start right off. We're going to jump into it, get right to it. Tell me, how'd you get involved in dentistry?
Oh, wow. How did I get involved in dentistry?
Yeah.
It was quite by accident, to be honest. When I finished school and I had choices to make to go into college, I wanted to be a lawyer. Commerce law is what I got into, and it was my economics teacher of all people that discouraged me from doing law and convinced me to do dentistry within 5 minutes. So at the age of 17, 18, you're very impressionable. So I thought, okay, that sounds like a great idea. So I went off and registered to become a dental student. That's how it happened.
Just like that. So tell me about your career as a dentist, right? We'll get to where you're at now, but tell me about your practice and tell me about all that.
Look, you know, when I graduated, I got to say I struggled with the course in the first two or three years. I wasn't enjoying the technical part of it. But once I started to see patients, I really embraced the whole, dynamics of the course. I'm a people's person, so I really enjoyed it. And that made the operative learnings much easier for me once I started interacting with patients. And when I graduated, I went straight into squatting. I didn't work for anyone else. I really enjoyed just throwing myself in the deep end. I opened up my own practice. I tell you what, my learning curve was quite steep in the first 5 years. So once I got over that hump, thankfully I didn't injure anyone. I learnt a lot. It was a difficult learning curve, but I learnt how to manage patients, how to interact and profile patients in the sense that, everyone was different in this, and they came in for different reasons. And it was about understanding what their fears and concerns were and learning to accommodate for that. So that was my first five years. And then I went on and bought another practice that was established in a more affluent area of Sydney and stayed there for about 3 to 5 years. I would stay 3 to 5 years in each location. And then I graduated to the CBD of Sydney, where I bought a practice that was established for a number of years that was doing high-end restorative work. So by then, I'd been practicing for almost 10 years. And I thought I had the skill set to start promoting more high-end restorative work, which I did. But I also went one step further and opened up the practice, like before hours and after hours. I extended the practice to become also an emergency type of service because it was in the middle of the central business district of Sydney. So I applied and became very friendly with the airlines, the modelling agencies, the hotels, the hospitals, and provided a service that was after hours on weekends. And by doing that, I doubled the revenue. So by 2001, I was turning over $1.8 million on my own. That was 2001. But I was doing the work of three doctors. That was not sustainable. Sure. So I ended up in a state of 3 years of doing that, maybe 2 years of doing that. I literally almost burnt out. I started looking at other alternatives to say, look, I need to slow down. I'd been practicing 13 years by then, and I couldn't sell the practice. I couldn't sell the practice to another doctor. It was a practice doing almost $2 million in revenue, and I couldn't find another doctor to look at this and say, well, it's worth $1 million at least. And the attitude was, well, if you can do it, so can I. Why would I pay you $1 million? I was astounded. And the only other alternative available was what you call DSOs in the United States, dental services organizations like aggregators that were prevalent in Australia at the time. They're not as big and as many as you have in the US, but there was about four or five platforms that were available, and it wasn't something I was interested in. because the last thing I wanted was for someone to take away my identity. It was all about, you know, not being micromanaged, told what to do, when to do it, or how to do it. So I was then approached by a medical doctor who was building medical centres across Australia. And he, in my mind, was building a platform that was integrating medical services. So he had general practitioners in these beautiful facilities, pharmacies, pathology, radiology, and he wanted to onboard dental services to integrate a platform where you could have a one-stop shop of integrated medical services. And I thought this was an awesome idea.
Right.
So he bought my practice at a value that I thought was fair. And I was then, I had the remit of becoming director of dental services for this group, which was publicly listed on the Australian Stock Exchange at the time. And they would build the facilities and I would be, they would allocate five, like space for five operatories, where my remit was to recruit auxiliary staff like nurses, practice managers, fit out the operatories and start seeing patients in these medical centres, which had large overflow of traffic of patients coming in because of the other services, and then replace myself with another dentist. Now, I did that 30 times in 5 years for this group.
Wow.
But midway through, Patrick, it broke my spirit because I was then in an environment where I was being micromanaged, being told what hours I could work, what staff I could or couldn't employ, what materials I could and couldn't use. So what I was trying to avoid, I became ensconced in this environment. So that's when the light bulb turned on and I thought, you know what? No one's understanding how to harness the clinicians that are innately driven, that don't need to be told what to do, but rather enabled. So I started focusing on the top 20% of doctors that were really good at what they were doing, that were driven, that had the respect among their peers and had wonderful platforms that they had built, knowing full well that if I could enable these clinicians and get them to the next level of their growth or evolution without interfering in their modus operandi, that was the key. So that became my business plan, which was a concept. So that started formulating in 2004.
Okay.
By 2007, it took 3 years for me knocking on doors of the financial institutions in Australia at the time until the right door opened. It was just a timing thing. You know, one of the biggest banks was looking at the health sector. There was I knocking on the door. I was director of dental services for one of the biggest health platforms in the country and saying, this is the way it should be done. So I was leveraging my title and remit to promote what became a business plan but was concept.
Right.
So to cut to the chase for you, the person that was heading up that bank enterprise resonated with what I thought was the right concept or antidote. So we ended up having a facility of funding which is in the tune of $100 million. I say it really fast now because it's so surreal. But what I had to do to unlock that facility was deliver them what you call 30 LOIs. So I had to then go and show that I could at least get the interest of the doctors that I was promoting to come on, to take a leap of faith. Right. So within 6 months, I had a list of 30 of the best doctors in Sydney at the time that weren't for sale, that ticked all the boxes as far as, you know, the fact that they were the best at what they were doing, they had great practices, and they were on a growth trajectory.
Yeah. So basically what you're saying is you're an overnight success.
No, it takes 20 years to become an overnight success. Right. Not at all.
Well, right. Obviously, right, yeah. Sorry. I'm glad you know that I was joking there. So so let me ask you this, right? So you're traveling the country. I know you're in Miami. You're based in Miami now. You're all over the country. We were talking about that a little bit offline. Yeah. So you talk to a lot of dentists, right? Clearly, a lot of business owners. Usually I ask people on the show, like, hey, what's a problem that dentists are coming to you? What's a challenge that they're having that they're coming to you about or they're talking about with you? Instead of asking that question, what I want to ask you is, what is a challenge that you foresee dentist having and practices having that they're not even aware of yet? Like, what's kind of the, not that, the elephant in the room so much, what's in the closet or the back?
I've never really had to think about that, but that's a great question. Look, you know what I would say? That there is a tendency right now for corporatization. Dentistry is going to follow in the same path as medicine has gone in the US, and it's going to be more difficult for new graduates to open up their own practice and to compete with the – there's a lot of DSOs that are already in place, which has caught me by surprise, which is unique to the United States. And I say that having been in Australia, New Zealand, Canada, UK, and Asia. What I'm seeing in the US is unique to the United States as far as the number of doctors that have already established 5, 10, 15 practices as their platform and the number of DSOs that are already in the market that are competing. So the new graduates have to compete against all that. So it makes it even more difficult to graduate, and especially with the debt that they graduate with after college. And then they've got to look at, you know, do I buy a practice? Do I buy into a practice? Do I start my own? So there's all that competition going on. And if you're not sensitive to that, it makes it all the more difficult. And you're setting yourself up to fail, which is a sad thing to say after all those years of study.
Sure.
So it's about running a business and understanding what your competition is, who your competitors are, and where you need to be once you graduate, and what is the best path for you as far as that's concerned. Now,
go ahead.
I was going to say, Patrick, what I've also become highly aware of being in the US and having been in those other jurisdictions and other countries, what's unique is the fact that the doctors here that I've met that have been attracted to the philosophy of what we're promoting are going through what I call DSO fatigue. In other words, their greatest fear, so that they've come to a crossroad. They've built platforms of 5, 10, 15, sometimes up to 20 as individuals, and they've tipped out, like they've reached a tipping point where they can't keep self-funding. So the crossroad is, do I go with private equity or do I go with one of the larger DSOs that are already currently established in the US? And the larger ones, I'm referring to the Aspens of the world, the Heartlands of the world, the Pacifics, and so on, who are quite entrenched in their modus operandi and their model. Their model is fundamentally micromanagement, rebranding, systemization. And the greatest fear the doctors that I'm meeting becomes their loss of identity and the loss of autonomy. So all of a sudden we've become the antidote, the solution, the breath of fresh air. And that's what is really exciting for me, because I know it works. Our philosophy, the blueprint works, and it works. And what gives it legitimacy is what we've done in Australia, New Zealand and Canada, which is there for all to see. So back in the other countries that I've mentioned, we were rolled up as Dental Corp, New Zealand, Dental Corp Australia, Dental Corp Canada. Now, the Canadian platform, which we sold out of in 2014, was bought by private equity, then on-sold to Louis Vuitton, which then listed it. So there's a journey and a roadmap there that everyone can follow, and the results have been extraordinary. The market cap of Dental Corp Canada today is about $3.3 billion.
Jeez.
Wow. It's extraordinary. And it's a reflection of the model. We had a 98% retention rate of doctors. The average age was 48. So none of the doctors ever left. And there's a reason for that. It's because of the model and how it works. It's all about enabling, validating, and rewarding doctors. And because I have so much empathy for what they do, because I practiced for 17 years, so I know what it's like to be on the coalface, and I know what it takes to enable a type A personality that wants to keep growing and wants to be harnessed. If you harness these individuals, the result is what you see as far as, you know, what we managed in other countries. And what's common to all of them, Patrick, is that they're all successful. What separates them is their skill their aptitude and their personality. They've all got different skill sets. They all have different personalities and they all have different aptitudes. But the common denominator is that they're all successful for different reasons.
Sure.
And that's what you harness.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's some great wisdom. And thanks for sharing that with you or with our audience. I want to encourage our audience to check out your website. It's udc.dental. And Dr. Curry, tell me if somebody wants to find out what's different about you one-on-one in UDC, how would they go about doing that? What's the best way to get in touch with you or your team?
Email me directly on ray@udc.dental. So it's ray@udc.dental.
Yep. Appreciate you coming on today. I want to have you come back on, but thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, no, Patrick, thank you for reaching out. And I'm very humbled that you had interest in what we were doing. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode. Did you know you can weigh in on today's topic on Facebook? Search The Dental Brief on Facebook or visit our website, dentalbrief.com, and just follow the link. We look forward to having you join us again on another episode of The Dental Brief.